Let's just have a short word of prayer and then we'll turn to God's word together. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that thou undertake for us once more again today. We do commend, Father, all thy servants tonight as they stand in pulpits to seek to preach thy word. Do strengthen their hearts and do help them, Lord, to declare the word which thou hast given to them over the week and which they have premeditated and thought before upon. And Father, do commend those who hear the word tonight. We pray that we might profit from the scriptures. May thy people might profit from them, Lord, and may be helped, particularly as they go through testing times, trials and temptations. Send, Father, commend this word here to thee, that thou help us as we go through the Christian life, and as we experience things, even that our Lord and Saviour did before us many years ago. Father, may we draw comfort and comforting lessons from what happened to him, we pray. So we commend this time now into thy hands. Help us, Lord, strengthen us now. And for we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, our text for tonight's message is in the second gospel, Mark's gospel, and verses 12 and 13 of the first chapter. And if you want the parallel passages to these verses here in the other two synoptic gospels, you'll find, as I read earlier on to you, another parallel passage of this in Matthew chapter 4 and verses 1 to 11, a lot longer than this one, or amplified. And also you'll find the temptation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 4 and verses 1 to 13. But I'm going to look at this incident in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ from the standpoint of Mark's gospel. We're not going to look in detail at the specific temptations the Lord went through. We're just going to consider what we have here in these two verses. So we're told that immediately the Spirit driveth him, Jesus, into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. So last time that we were in Mark, which was a couple of weeks ago, looking at the previous three verses, verses 9 to 11. And those verses were about the baptism of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, his water baptism. And we can also say his spiritual baptism, if you like. It was the time not only when he went through the waters of baptism, but after that, immediately after that, and as he was praying, the Holy Ghost came upon him with power without measure. So looking at those verses in relation to Christ's baptism. First of all, we considered the candidate for baptism, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, in verses 9 and 10. Let me read those verses to you. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. So Christ, on this occasion, was the baptismal candidate. Came to John for baptism at the height of John's baptizing activity. But also we considered the baptismal clarification, if I can put it like that, and the commendation in verse 11. After our Lord's baptism and after the Spirit of God came upon him in this way, a voice was heard by our Lord Jesus Christ and by those who were there, John the Baptist and so on. And the voice said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So that was the voice of God the Father concerning the Son, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, saying, "You are my beloved Son." That was the clarification. John wasn't the Christ. John wasn't the Messiah. John wasn't the Saviour. Jesus was. And the commendation, one in whom I am well pleased. So, secondly, the baptismal clarification and commendation in verse 11. We finished that sermon on these verses by saying, first of all, that our Lord's baptism shows then who he was and is. That he is the Son of God. This couldn't have happened to anybody else. The Spirit of God couldn't have come on somebody in this way and in such a measure and for such a protracted period of time had not this person, Jesus of Nazareth, been the Son of God. So it shows that Christ is, as Jesus is the Son of God, his baptism showed that. Secondly, his baptism also shows us who may now be baptized, who may now go through the waters of baptism, and perhaps become a member of a church, become a member of a local church. It is somebody who believes this concerning Jesus with all their hearts. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God from your heart, and you've not yet been baptized, you may be baptized, and perhaps in the future you might become a member of your or of a local church. So we look at his baptism last time in those three verses. We come to the next two verses now in Mark chapter 1. Mark goes on apace from one incident in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ to another. He's shorter than a lot of the gospel writers, isn't he? Than Matthew and also in Luke, especially when the temptation is concerned. And with this, he just takes two verses over it, verses 12 and 13. So Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, he records now about our Lord's temptation. We considered our Lord's gospel at the beginning, and then his baptism, and now we consider his temptation. As I say, we also have it amplified, a fuller account of it in Matthew 4, and also in Luke chapter 4. And I hope by looking at our Lord's temptation tonight, you might be helped. Again, my dear friend, this is perhaps a message today which is very much designed and geared for somebody here who is a Christian. And as a Christian, you might be going through a time or a period of very real temptation of Satan, of the evil one. But if you're being tempted, I trust that what we look at tonight in relation to the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ might be of help to you. And even the very fact that our Lord was tempted should be a comfort and encouragement to you. You're probably being tempted, if you're being tempted, you're being tempted because you are one of his disciples. The disciple is not greater than his Lord. Your Lord Jesus Christ was tempted, and you also will be tempted. It's not necessarily a sign, probably not a sign that you're not a Christian. It's a sign that you are a Christian. And also the encouraging thing is this, that if our Lord was tempted, who was and is sinless, there is nothing sinful, there's nothing wrong in being tempted. The thing that is wrong is yielding to temptation, giving in to temptation. So just because you're being tempted doesn't mean to say that you're in a bad position. What you've got to do as a Christian, you've got to resist that temptation, you've got to resist the tempter, that he might flee from you, that you might come out of the temptation. And again, the fact that he was tempted, he knows what it's like. Just like we've been singing in these hymns, he knows what it's like to be tempted. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So he knows what it's like, and therefore he's able to understand, to sympathize, and to succor us as we go through these things ourselves. Well then, let's consider tonight the temptation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. We're told a number of things about his temptation. First of all, the Spirit's involvement or role in this, in verse 12. Now, the Spirit of God didn't tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, I'm not saying that. It was the devil, Satan, who did that. But the Spirit had a role in this. He was involved in this before our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted. And then in verse 13, we're told about the one who was tempted himself, that is our blessed Saviour, Jesus, in verse 13. And in 13, we're also told about the angels of God who came to minister to our Lord Jesus Christ after he was tempted. So we really have in verse 12, before his temptation, and then Christ going through his temptation, briefly described, and then what happened to him after he was tempted. And I hope that there are things here that might be of help to you and to me when we go through times of trial and difficulty and temptation ourselves. So first of all, I want to concentrate on verse 12 here. Mark telling us here, telling the Gentiles, because remember he's writing here not to Jews so much, but to Gentiles, people like you and me. He writes here about the Spirit. Not about spirits, plural, not about the angels, they come towards the end. We're dealing here with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead, the third person of the Holy Trinity. And what he did before our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted. We're told that he drove our Lord into the wilderness to the place where he was going to be tempted. So notice first of all that what the Spirit did, he drove our Lord. Matthew puts it like this, that our Lord was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness by the Holy Ghost. Luke, again, our Lord was led by the Holy Ghost into the wilderness. Some read it that he was impelled. Because remember, at the time of our Lord's baptism, he was not only baptized in water, he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. He's filled with power without measure by the Holy Ghost. He's full of the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit now, immediately after his baptism, impels him, fills him with an inner urge, or moves him to leave the place where he was, where he'd been baptized by Jordan, and to go into another part of the wilderness. So the Spirit drove our Lord in this way. And notice here, very important point for us, that he did this. This is something that he did immediately. He did it straight away. He did it at once. In other words, it happened hard upon our Lord's baptism, upon the blessing of his baptism. In other words, there was no interval between the glory of our Lord's baptism and those words that he heard and the blessing of those words from the Father in verse 11, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," and the hardship of the temptation. Our Lord went straight from blessing into the battle of this temptation with the evil one. So the Spirit drove him in this way, straight away after his baptism, drove our Lord, drove Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, and he drove him into the wilderness from, as I say, from the River Jordan, where he had been baptized. Well, you say, well, surely he was baptized in the wilderness. So how come now he's been driven into the wilderness by the Spirit? Well, it means probably another part of the wilderness of Judea. Probably a more inhospitable part, a more rugged part of the wilderness than the one mentioned in verse 4. Notice in verse 13, we read about wild beasts, hyenas, lions, jackals, and so on. Our Lord is in a more inhospitable part of the wilderness where his temptation took place. Possibly, some think, a limestone height near Jericho. But what I want you to notice is this. It is the timing of his temptation. It happens straight after his baptism. Immediately it drives him into the wilderness where he's tempted, and he's following this great battle against the evil one, against the God of this world, against the devil. And God had his reason to permit this to happen to him. But what I want you to notice is this. Very often this is what God will permit in our lives. He will permit us sometimes to be greatly blessed. Greatly blessed perhaps with a new birth, becoming a Christian, being converted. And all the blessings of that, knowing sins forgiven and peace with himself. Blessed perhaps shortly after that by being baptized, making public profession of our faith, and the great blessing that that brings to us. Sometimes God blesses us by bringing us into membership of the local church. Perhaps he brings us through a period where we're being just greatly spiritually blessed in our souls, in our hearts, through the ministry, in prayer, in our lives, perhaps temporal blessing. Blessings come our way, spiritual blessings, and so on. But what I want to say to you is this. Always be on the watch, my dear friends. Always take care. Because very often God permits times of blessing to help us through the times of battle. And times of battle will always come hard upon times of blessing. And why is that? It's different to us than our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ went through these things because he had come to fulfill righteousness and provide eternal redemption for us. But the reason why the Lord permits us to go through trials and difficulties and temptations sometimes is to keep you and I humble, isn't it? To keep you and I humble. Because blessings come, and if we're not careful, these things can go to our heads. Yes, and they can go to our hearts, and we can be puffed up in pride. And the Lord in his goodness then sends times of difficulty and hardship, whereby we might be brought low, we might be brought closer to him, and that we might hide ourselves in him, and just be humbled, become more lowly minded, and humble in our hearts before him, and totally dependent upon him. So if you're going through a time of temptation at the moment, or a time of difficulty, trial, or tribulation, whatever it might be, that may be why the Lord is permitting it. Or perhaps the Lord is letting Satan have a go. Or you're going through spiritual hardship. It is just to keep you low and humble before him. It makes me think of someone like the Apostle Paul. The Lord was so good to the Apostle Paul. He gave him a wonderful spiritual experience, didn't he? He brought him into the very heavenlies themselves. And Paul experienced the very presence of God. And he was able to speak in an unknown tongue, as it were, the tongue of angels. He gave him a wonderful, ecstatic spiritual experience to help him through the things that he was going to go in the future, all the sufferings he was going to go through. What happened? God then also gave him a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what it is, what it was. But it's just to keep Paul humble and dependent upon the grace of God in his life. So, my dear friend, remember about that from that first point in verse 12. The Spirit of God drove our Lord Jesus Christ into the wilderness to be tempted. And sometimes God permits us to go through difficulties to keep us humble, especially after times of great blessing. Then Mark also tells us about our Lord himself, Spirit's activity before his temptation. And now our Lord Jesus Christ actually in the throes of the temptation itself in verse 13. So our Lord was tempted. Christ was really tempted. It means here that he was tempted in his human nature. Our Lord was not tempted in his divine nature. Because James tells us very clearly in James chapter 1 and verse 13 that God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, anybody. God cannot be tempted with evil. So our Lord wasn't tempted in his divine nature, but he was really tempted in his human nature. He was tempted, as we read in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, in all points, in every respect. He was really enticed or tempted to sin, just like you and I are, as his people, as his disciples. Yet, here's the great difference, although he was tempted to sin like as we are, yet he never, ever fell into sin. You notice that he went into this temptation full of the Holy Ghost, but you also remember reading that he came out of it full of the Holy Ghost. Because he never sinned. Had he sinned, the Spirit would have flown. But the Spirit of God, of course, was still with him because he never fell into sin. Our Lord Jesus Christ has never sinned, never sins, and will never sin. He is totally and utterly sinless. And in fact, when you think of the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness, it shows just how sinless and pure and spotless and harmless and undefiled he is. When you compare him, the second Adam, with the first Adam, there was Adam. And he was perfect, and he was greatly blessed, and he was in a garden. And he wasn't hungry. He wasn't at his physical limit. And yet he so quickly fell into sin, even though he was tempted of his own wife, of Eve. Not directly by Satan, and only once. But our Lord Jesus Christ, he was in an extreme place. He was in the wilderness. He was surrounded by wild animals. He had fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights. He was on his own. He was tempted directly by the devil again and again and again. And yet, he never sinned. Couldn't sin. He could be tempted, but he couldn't sin. Because there was no sinful nature within him to be drawn away. Lovely to see this, the sinlessness and purity of our blessed Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Had he sinned once, there'd be no salvation. But because he never sinned, he went to that cross, the sinless Son of God, and took our sins upon him, punished for them, in order that we might be forgiven of all of our sins, both before we become Christians and afterwards too. Sometimes we fall into sin, and we're tempted, we do fall. And go to him again and ask him for his forgiveness, and God grants it to us. That's not encouragement for us to yield easily to sin at all. So he was in all points, in every respect, really enticed or tempted to sin, like as well, yet without falling to sin. He heard the outward prompting or tempting voice or whispering of Satan, urging him to sin, egging him on to sin, but he wasn't drawn away or enticed because there was no, unlike us, there was no inner evil desire, incentive or lust goading him to cooperate with or to give heed to it. But he was really tempted. And that's very important. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He's tempted, then Mark tells us again, right there in the wilderness. And he was tempted. 40 days is the time that's mentioned here. Matthew says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Look, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. He fasted for 40 days, the same time that Moses fasted on Mount Horeb. Exodus 34 and verse 2, Deuteronomy 9 and verses 9 and 18. The same time that the prophet Elijah fasted on Mount Horeb, also 1 Kings verses 19 and verse 8. And there are two opinions about this 40 days. Some think, and I don't agree with this myself, that he was tempted throughout the entire or whole 40 days that he fasted. But others feel that this temptation came at the close of his fast, when he was at his physical extremity, if you like, when he was starving. And think of the temptation in his human nature. Remember the first temptation, Matthew puts it chronologically. These stones here, make them bread. Think of that temptation and the temptations that came his way. And that he resisted them all and parried them with his own word, the Old Testament scriptures, particularly those in the book of Deuteronomy. And finally here we're told that our Lord was tempted of Satan. The devil, Diabolos, the accuser of the brethren, our adversary, his enemy, a personal prince of evil, the one who is the slanderer. And Matthew in chapter, his gospel in chapter 4, Luke again in chapter 4, easy to remember, in the first verses of those chapters, goes into the detail of the temptation and how our Lord resisted them at every turn and resisted them with his own word. That's what we're told about Jesus, about his, he was tempted. Tempted in that place. Tempted of the evil one. And he never yielded to sin. As I say, my dear friend, what happened to our Lord so many years ago might be happening to you. The Lord may put you in a place, permitted that to happen. And you're being tempted. Perhaps it's a protracted period. You know, with Satan, he is very persistent. He doesn't just come once and then leave us altogether alone. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, after this temptation, he left him, but he only left him for a season, for a while. And he was back again, tempting him and goading him once more, through people, through individuals, even to the cross itself, to try and get him to come down from the cross and to sin against God and to be disobedient. Sometimes temptation can be a short period. Very often it can be over a long period of time. And we can be tempted again and again and again. But there are encouragements, my dear friends, as I said right at the very beginning of this message, the very fact that you're being tempted, not a sign that you're not a Christian, it's a sign that you are one of the people of God. Satan's trying to get you back, isn't he? Within his own power to sin against God. He's trying to get you back because you are one of God's people, not because you're not. And just because you're being tempted doesn't mean to say that you've sinned against God. Our Lord was tempted. And he was sinless. There's no sin in being tempted. It's the yielding. It's the giving in. It's the being beguiled. It is giving in to him. That is where sin comes in. And should that have happened to you? Should that happen to you? Should the temptation be so fierce and you do yield? You mustn't, but if that ever happens, well, my dear friends, as God's people, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And if you have fallen, if you do, in repentance, in godly sorrow, you can come back to God and ask him to have mercy upon you again, to forgive you. And God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That, my dear friends, is not a license to sin. But, my dear friends, that is our comfort if we do fall into these things. So there's much here to be comforted. And our Lord is our great example. God helped him. The Spirit of God helped him to endure this. To endure fasting for a 40-day period. And then to endure this fierce attack of the devil. Sometimes Satan comes like this to us, doesn't he? Not just once, but then he comes again, and he comes again, just like waves hitting a seashore. The temptations roll in upon us, roll over us. Yet God is able to help us to stand. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't forget, the one that is in you is all power. He's able to keep you. Keep you from falling, and he's greater than the one that's in the world, the one who is the prince of the power of the air. So perhaps you're being tempted of the evil one. Well, take courage and be thankful that these things, they can last for a season, they can go on, can on and on sometimes. But God is able to help you and to bring you through present trial and difficulties and temptations. He is, after all, our Saviour, deliverer from sin and from this present evil world and the temptations of it. We're also told that our Lord was with the wild beasts. He was with the hyenas, he was with the jackals, the lions and the panthers. William Hendrickson says, the region where our Lord fasted and was tempted was therefore the scene of abandonment and peril, the very opposite of paradise, where the first Adam was tempted. Where the first Adam failed, our Lord Jesus Christ succeeded and victored and triumphed for us, went on to do so against Satan upon the cross to provide us with salvation, the salvation of our souls. Well, finally here in verse 13, before we close, we're also told about the angels. The Spirit, then our Lord Jesus Christ, and then the spirits themselves, the angels of God. Reminds me of Elijah. Remember Elijah, after a great blessing and victory, he was brought very low, wasn't he? And he went many days without food and came to sit under a juniper tree. He was very depressed. But the angels came to him and ministered to him, gave him food, and he went in the strength of that food for many, many days in the future, until he came to Mount Horeb. Same kind of thing here, but with our Lord Jesus Christ. The angels came. They came and ministered to our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew says, they came and ministered. They were rendering service to him. And we're told in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, are the angels not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? When you go through your trials and tribulations and temptations, remember, my dear friend, not just the one who is against you, trying to goad you into sin, but remember everything, all that are for you. God is for you. Christ is for you. The Spirit of God is for you and helping you. And the angels are there for you as well to help you. They're ministering spirits to help us through times of temptation. And even though no human beings are around during our Lord's temptation, God sometimes sends us people to comfort us and to help us through our trials. Especially older Christians have been through the same, been through severe temptations in the past. They've been brought through. They've been delivered. God opened a way of deliverance for them. They're saved from them. They would say, well, I was going through a similar thing myself, but God, this is how God helped me. This is how God will help you as well. Praise God for older, maturer, more experienced Christians and the help that they can be to younger Christians in the faith who are born again and converted and think, wow, that's wonderful. I'm a Christian now. Everything's going to be so easy. Everything's going to be so pleasant and blissful. I have such blissful spiritual experiences. It may be, but I can tell you, my dear friend, if you become a Christian, you're going to suffer. And you're going to suffer temptations. But God and God's people are able to help you with their advice and also with their prayers. Christ is praying for you, interceding for you. He knows what it's like. He's been through it, and he understands, and he's able to succor those who are tempted. So the angels came to our Lord, the one who created and made them, and ministered to him. They provided for his needs. They provided him with bodily nourishment. He was literally physically starving, but they brought him back to health, and they brought him back to strength. They brought him water to drink. They brought him food to eat. I know that if somebody's not eaten for many, many days, it's very difficult to start eating again. They'd have been so tender and gentle with him until he was strengthened once more to carry on his public ministry. They ministered to him, their Lord and Master, and must have wondered what it was that he was going through for us, his people. Well, my dear friend, be encouraged. The angels ministered to Christ after his temptation, and when he was so physically low and weak. And don't forget, God the Father, when we go through difficult times, times of temptation, the Father continues to send us, we don't see them. And sometimes we might not even be conscious of their ministering to us and what they're doing. But he sends them to guide us in life and to protect us to some degree and to provide for us and to help us and to strengthen us. The ministry of angels. We're foolish if we forget about them and how they help us, not only as Christians, even before we become Christians. God sends his angels to guide us, sometimes to places to hear God's word, to hear his word, to people who testify to us. The wonderful, glorious ministry of angels. Perhaps one day, my dear friend, we shall, through grace, end up in glory together, and we shall see these angels, and communicate with these angels, and then perhaps we'll be able to look back and see just how much help they gave to us in our Christian lives. So therefore, in these verses here in Mark chapter 1, 12 and 13, having come from his baptism, our Lord is tempted. Battle followed blessing. But the Spirit was there. The Spirit brought him to the place where he was going to be tempted. Our Lord went through this for us. And then the angels came after his temptation and ministered to his needs. So close tonight. So if you go through difficult times, just remember all these, my dear friends. But when you go through hardship as a Christian, when you go through suffering and persecution, think of who's with you. The Spirit of God is with you. He is in you and greater than the one who is tempting you. Christ is for you, interceding for you, succoring you, and sending his angels to minister to help you through. And God the Father, your Father, hasn't forgotten about you, loves you still, remembers you, and he will help you through, and is able to send you human help too, to bring you through such times as these. So I do trust that through these few verses here, if you're going through a time like this, you might be helped. Even this itself, the scriptures, might help you through. It's not going to be forever, my dear friends. Temporal temptation often only lasts for a while, and then God gives us a period of relief for a bit, of recovery. But praise God, as Christians, we're only going to be in this world for a relatively short period of time. One day all our trials will be over, and we shall be in glory, and we won't be afflicted by the evil one anymore. We'll be eternally shut in with God. Sin will be no longer. Satan will be shut out, and all of his forces, and all unbelievers, and will be safely locked in with God forever and forever to praise him in heaven throughout all eternity. Oh, may God hasten that day. Amen. Thank you.